Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. This is your pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with your Anointed Word International Ministries. I'm so glad to be with you today and pray that all is well with you and yours. I pray that you had a blessed day because this is the day that the Lord has made. We must rejoice in it and be glad because there are many that's not here to rejoice. So we need to rejoice and be glad, knowing that God has provided with us another blessed day. And today, praise God, we're going to go before you, praise God, with the words. And we know, praise God, and pray that you be blessed. Pray that you and your family is well. And pray, praise God, that you are still standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for being with us today. We praise you for allowing us to see this day. We praise you because we know that without you, we are nothing. We can do nothing. And we thank you for your blessings, for your love, for your concern, how you kept us throughout this day. You didn't let death overtake us, but you brought us back once again to our place of residence. You watched over as we went up and down danger highways. And Father God, most of all, you bind the very activities of the enemy. Now, we thank you for it, O Father, and we do give you praise, glory, and honor. And today, Lord, we pray that the word come forth with clarity, that those that are listening and those that are unsaved will know, praise God, that you are yet in your place. You are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, and you change not. And today we're going to be coming from Psalms, the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book, praise God, of encouragement. It's a book of uplifting. It's a book, praise God, that you should read, praise God, and keep the book of Psalms because the book of Psalms is a book of encouragement. But in this book today, praise God, we're going to talk about in the pits with the king. In the pits with the king. Meaning, praise God, life throws us hard balls, and sometimes the balls knocks us down. They're called curveballs. And those curveballs, praise God, can be so, they can be very dangerous. They can hurt. They can even kill. But if you know, praise God, that you have a way, praise God, and someone you can turn to that can pull you out of the pit. Because truly, my friend, you will go into pits in this life because life is not promised to you as a bowl of roses. Amen. But now, one of the greatest benefits of reading the book of Psalms is that it's present with us. It's a pattern of life that the God that is a godly way to go through in every age. Amen. And in doing that, it's encouragement to us that we are made of the same stuff as the saints of old. Because remember, the Lord said that he didn't come, praise God, to condemn the law, but he come to show us a better way of doing things in the new. Amen. And we say that you can stand as the saints of old. And it gives us courage and it gives us guidance how to follow the pattern of the godliness through to the end. And one of the patterns of life that is reoccurring in the book of Psalms is getting in the pit and getting out again. Because pits will come. You will fall into pits. You would even stumble and fall into pits. Pits will come before you. You never know where they come from, how they got there. But all you will know that it is a pit that caused you to fall. And what you would have to learn is David experienced when he what he found in the book of Psalms in chapter 40. We're going to focus on this verse 1, 2, 3. But we will read sometimes, praise God, we're going to read in and out of the book of Psalms because we want you to understand that you may be in the pit of your life. You may be in the pit of your life, but you can be in it with the king. Amen. That's right. You heard the woman that sung the song said, take me to the king. I have nothing to bring, but take me to the king. Leave me at the altar. Let me lay there at the altar, but take me to the king. And if you can get to the king, you can get out the pit that you're in. Amen. And David said in the book of Psalms, he said, I wait patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the mire and the clay. And he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. Meaning I was not, I didn't have to slip and fall as I once did, because I realized that I could turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the King, and he could bring me, put me in a better place, give me sustainable footsteps that I would not slip and fall as much as I did when I was in the muck and the mire clay. And he set my feet on a solid rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a new song of praise to our God. And see, many will see and will fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. You know, you're really, really blessed when you can really depend on the Lord to meet your every need, and you submit to him and you make your request known to him. You are blessed because he's the one who has the answer. Everybody else assume they have it or may think they have it or maybe act like they have it, but he has the answer to all of your problems. And as he turned to the, he said, and has not turned to the proud, not to those who lap into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done. And thy thoughts towards us, there is none to compare with thee. I've gone through things. Man couldn't bring me out. They couldn't help me. But when I went to my King, I was in the pit. But I went to the King, and he lifted me. He reached way down and picked me up out of the muck and the mire clay. You see, man can't do that for you because they're too busy trying to keep themselves straight. They don't care about what you're in and what you're going through. But if you know who Jesus is, you can go through the pit, be in the pit, and go through it and come out with a King. And that's what I have to say to you. Take me to the King. Don't take me to the pastor. Don't take me to the missionary. Don't take me to the friends. Don't take me to the neighbors. Don't take me to the apostle. Don't take me to the bishop. Take me to the King. Because if I go through the King and you cannot get to the King, he will not allow me to stay in the pit. And David said that if I would declare and speak of them, there would be too much numerous for me to count. He was saying, if I could just tell you how many times that the Lord has pulled me out of the pit and took me out of darkness and put me into the marvelous light, I wouldn't have tongue enough to praise him for what he has done for me. He said, sacrifice and meals offered, thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin and offerings, thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. David said, Lord, praise in me, creating me a clean heart and a righteous spirit that I might not sin against thee. He said, I have proclaimed gladness and tidings of righteousness in the greatest congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. I will not forget to tell the individuals how you have blessed me, Lord. It is not a silent thing. This thing was not done in a corner. It was not done in the dark. I am not ashamed to tell what the Lord has done for me, how he has brought me out of sin, how he has kept me, how he has preserved me from the hands of the enemy. He said, oh, Lord, thou knowest me. See, you don't know me. You think you know me. You don't know me. And this is why I tell people all the time, you won't know anything about me, ask God. So, Lord, who is she? Who is this woman? Who is this woman you call Ola? Who is she? Don't ask nobody else nothing about me. Go and ask the Lord, who am I? He said, oh, Lord. David said, oh, Lord, thou knowest me. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. He said, I have not hidden thy righteousness in my heart. I have spoken of the faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Lord, I'll tell it on the mountaintop. I'll tell it in the valley. I'll tell it on the housetop. I will tell it how you have blessed me, how you have kept me, because God, you know it, me. This is why I tell people all the time, God got me. You think you know me. You don't know me. If you have not talked to God about me, you don't know me. David said, thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continuously what? Preserve me. See, that's what preserves me. Because the Bible says salvation beautifies the meek. And that compassion and that loving kindness and that truth continuously preserve me. That's my preservance, is the word of God. For evil beyond the numbers have surrounded me. Oh, yes, 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 my friend. Many have tried to trip me up. Many have tried to cut me down. Many have tried to ostracize me. Many, praise God, has talked about me, ridiculed me, because they didn't know me. But what you've done, you didn't do it to me. You did it to my Father, because you don't know me. What I do it in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not do it in myself. When you attack me, you attack him. My iniquity, David said, has overtaken me. So that I am not able to see. You see, sometimes things come up on you in your life, you get blind, you get blindsided. You can't see it. You don't understand it. You don't understand why it's happening. What make it happen? Why do you keep going through this? That is not for you to decide. What you need to do is stay where the king has put you. If you are in the pit, stay there, because he will deliver you out of the pit. But see, we as human beings, we want to do it for ourselves because we want to feel like we are great. We are so strong. We are so mighty. We can do it. Baby, sin is no match for you, baby. You can't deal with sin. Sin is too much. He said, my iniquities has overtaken me so that I am not able to see. It blinds me. The Bible says, if any man be lost, he is lost because the devil, Satan, the old fox, Beelzebub, liar, tempter, has blinded man from the truth. And they must blind you so that you cannot see nor hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And when I say church, my friend, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you as an individual, your spirit man, not even your flesh. Because God don't deal with the flesh. He deal only with the Spirit. They that worship him must do it in spirit and in truth. If you're doing anything for God, it must be done in the spirit, not the flesh. The Bible says, David says, they that are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Are you understanding that the hairs on your head is numbered? The Lord knows every strand of hair on your head. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. You don't even know that. He said, but be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste. Please, please, Lord, please hurry up, he's saying. O Lord, to help me. Let those be shamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. When people try to do things to you and you know that you're standing right in God, you know that you've done no wrong, fear not. Fear not. God got that. He said, let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. People love to see you down and out and hurting and begging and seeing you look at the child, do you know such as this thing? Baby, that's why I said, don't take it to man, take it to God. Go to the throne and leave it there. Go to the king, even if you have to go alone. Go to the king and leave it there and let him deal with it, because people desire and they delight in your hurt. Let those be applauded because of their shame, who say to me, ha-ha, That's what they say. Aha. Yes. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. See, this, they love it. They love it. But let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. But let those who love thy salvation say continuously, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Lord, don't forget me. Many times, praise God, we go through things and we say, Lord, you allow the enemy to triumph over me? No, because in God's timing, believe me, that they will hear from the king. They will hear from the king. The king. See, Christians know about the first hand. They know things, praise God, that they know. If they believe in God and stand for God and in God, God will deliver them. They know this. But you see, David, he was in a muddy pit. But the second thing he did, he cried to God for help. The third thing, he waited for the Lord. The fourth thing, God drew him out of the pit to a safe place. God gave David a new song to sing. Uh-huh. See, God will give you a song to sing while you're going through. Yes, it'll carry you over. And probably the one we are reading about, the sixth thing, many others came to trust God when they saw the pattern of David's life. You go through things in life and people sit and they watch and they hide to see you fall. I've had people walk up to me and say, you don't never have no problem. Do you have problems? What you doing there? I said, yeah, you okay? I'm a human being. Of course I have problems. I have them, but I give them over to Jesus. I can't do anything with them. What can I do? Sit up and lose sleep overnight? Start falling into sin because I want to figure out I should be doing something better? No, what I do what he said do. He said, cast your cares up on me, for I care it for you. So why would I want to carry? I've learned to be stress-free. It is what it is. And if the Lord said, cast it, I throw it as hard as I can. And I tell him, God, this is your problem, not mine. And I don't lose sleep. See, David knew. When David went through what he did, many looked at him because they said David was out of his, he was out of connections anyway, because the thing that he danced naked out of his clothes in the square. He was always praising God. They thought something was wrong with him. He was always doing what he did, but he was always crying to God, Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned it. But God honored that. And many came to trust God when they saw the pattern of his life. The king's pit, the king's cry, the king's patience, the king's rescue, the king's song, and the king's influence. Here is the king David, a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart in the pit. David is in the pit. First, the king is in the pit. What an experiment. What are we supposed to feel when the king, when we read about this being caught in a desolated pit and in the muck and the marl clay? A king. We're talking about a king now. Okay? Then we have to worry about, praise God, when we talk about it, you say, and I found, what I found was the reference was rowing, well, it was like mud. It was like a stormy wave in the pit where he was. It wasn't nothing pleasurable. It wasn't nothing very prestigious. He was in the lowest of the pit. Okay? It was striking. David had fallen to a deep, dark well, plunged into, he was plunged into, not into a clean, you know, a palace or a pool, but a roaring storm like a hurricane or something. It was all dark and the underground. Yes. Then alongside that, can you imagine? Imagine that of a mire and mud. Those two don't seem to be to go together too good. But don't forget now, don't you forget, that these are just images that we would put together supposing to make us feel like David was feeling. Horrible. unethical. It was just unethical what he was going through. But now, we can also picture it and get a picture of the myrrh, too, when we read in King Hezekiah what he did to Jeremiah. They threw Jeremiah in a pit. Muck. All kind of garbage. All kind of filth. That he had, they lowered him down on a rope. They put him into a pit. Jeremiah cast him into a citrus. You read it in the book of Malachi. They put him into a pit. Because Jeremiah wouldn't share and tell him what the Lord said. They wanted to shut him up. But he refused. He was going to tell it. He had to tell it from the pit. He was going to tell it. But God still allowed him to go in it, but God still was with him while he was in there. He was not in there alone. In Psalms 40, and there are two that we can combine the image of the mud and the flood. And Psalm 69, 1, 2, 3 says, save me, O God. See, when you're going through, don't stop praying. Don't let the devil tell you to seal your lips and don't say nothing. Baby, that's the time to get a prayer wheel turning. You don't stop praying when you're going through something. You just sit there and just don't wait. No, baby, while you're sitting, pray. Pray, pray, pray. You must always pray. The Bible says man must always pray and not to faint. If you faint, you don't know how you're going to come out. So you must always pray. He says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my soul. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I mean, I can't feel no bottom, God. I'm just constantly sinking. I can't feel anything. You got your bills due. You lose your job. You don't have no way to pay your rent. You can't pay your light bill. You can't feed your children. You can't make your car payments. You hiding it because you're afraid the repo man is looking for it to come and get it. You're just going through everything. Nobody wants to help you. Because remember now, before you went through it, everybody said they was with you. You feel me? They was with you. They won't be there for you. But as soon as you go through, everybody scatters. Nobody is to be seen. Because guess what? You have no foothold. He said, I have come into the deep waters. So you fall into those deep waters. Nobody's going to take their life and lose their life for yours. Because they don't care whether you sink, swim, or drown. They do not care while you in the pit. And that is why I'm saying to you today, if you're going to be in the pit with the king. Be in the pit with the king. Of course you go through things in life, but it doesn't last forever. It's not something that lasts forever. You must go through, but you can go through with your help right there with you. He says, if the Lord had not been on my side, whether shall I be today? But it's because of the help of the Lord. Fall into wells and you sink deep into the sluggish at the bottom and you're going through deeper things and deeper times and nobody see what you're going through. Nobody see when you cry at night, when you're weeping all alone and it's dark in your room. Nobody feels. You stand up and you cry in your pillow and your pillow becomes your well. You weep and you cry. And suddenly there's a rain of water coming from somewhere. And it's rushing around us, and you're rushing around you in the dark. And then it comes up, then it comes at the sense of helplessness and desperation. And all of a sudden the air, you know, just like, you don't know what to do no more. You can't take it no more. Your air's leaving you. You don't know what to do. But if you go in with the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be well made. That's what the Hebrew boys did. They threw them in the fire furnace, the fiery furnace. They said, you're going to burn. Y'all going to burn up in there. Put them in there. So the fire was seven times hotter than it used to be. But because they went into the fire with the king, their body said they came out. There was no smoke on their clothes. Their hair was not even burned. They were just as normal then than they was before they went in. And so the young man saw and said, well, wait a minute now. I put three in there. But look. Behold, I see four. And he looked like the king. He was the Son of God. David cried out to the Lord. Now the king cries out. He says, I wait patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He was in the pit, but he didn't sit there and be mad. He didn't sit there and feel sorry for it. He sat there and he began to talk to the Lord. One of the reasons God heard David so much because he was always crying. He was crying. He's always crying to the Lord. Lord, you got to get me out of this. Lord, help me, Father God. I know I fell short to your glory. But, Lord, you know you are my king, and I need you to lift me from this pit because my enemy desired to sift me as wheat. He desired, praise God, to see me destroyed, oh God. He said, but I am weary with my mourning every night, Father. I thread my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. Put my tears in the bottle. Are they not in thy book? Indeed, they are, because blessed are they that mourn. It is a beautiful thing when you are a broken man, a broken individual, and genuinely cries out to God. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or not, baby. Real men cry out to Jesus. Real men. Real men. So many times, men don't cry. Bunch of foolishness. Not like the joke who got the cramp when he was swimming, and that, but he struggled to get to the shores unassisted, lest he appeared to be weak, but like the little child who wanders far out from the turf and go out into the waters or whatever, and then when they cry out and the undercurrent takes them out and they cry out immediately, their daddy take off. I got to save my child. God loves to answer like childlike prayers. You don't have to have no broad out prayer with these big words trying to impress God. That's foolishness. Childlike prayers. He said, in order for you to come to me as little children. But make sure the cry is to God and for God and not for man. You hear that? Make sure when you cry, your cry is for God and not for man. Man is not going to even throw you a life jacket out. He's not going to throw you a lifeline. But see, you got to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. David said, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. He said, do not trust in princes, in moral man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. And in that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the Lord God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Therefore, when you are in the pit, you do not just cry anybody. You cry out to God. Amen. You got to learn who to cry to. It's nothing wrong with crying, my friend. It's nothing wrong with crying. I want to let you know that tears is a way of cleansing. Sometimes when you cry, you feel better. But David said, I wait for the Lord. And then this is very important. You wait patiently for the Lord. Or more literally, I wait intensively for the Lord. The reason this is so important for us to hear is that it guards us from unbelief when God's help seems long in coming. You know that's true. Lord, where are you? Why are you taking so long? Lord, what is the problem? We can draw no deadline for God. He hastens or he delays as he sees fit. Amen. And today, praise God, I pray that you would just praise God from the word today. But just know one thing. You can go in the pit, and you will fall into the pit of life because life has pitfalls all around us. But you can still go into the pit. But you can go in there with the king, and you can come out in good spirit with the king. Wait for the Lord, for it is a great part of our life as Christians. But if you do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, he's standing right there with outstretched arms saying, come as you are, and I'll in no wise cast you out. In order for the Lord to assist you, you must be one of his. The Bible says in John 9:31, for we know that God does not hear sinners' prayer. But if you be a worshiper of him, then him he hears. Make God your Lord today. Make him your Lord If you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Make God your Lord today, that he may be your God and you will be his people. Until this time, next time, I pray that you were blessed with the word. And I say to you once again, we'll meet again. You be blessed. Have a great day.